Welcome to the 29th Annual Executive War College brought to you by The Dark Report. This year's conference was in beautiful New Orleans, April 30th through May 1st. The title of this presentation is Global Perspective on Healthcare Data as the New Driver of Innovation in Diagnostics and Patient Care. The presenter is Michael Simpson, President and CEO, Clinisys, Inc., Tucson, Arizona.
Yeah, all right, good. My little prop down on the table here. It's been a long time since I stood behind a lectern, so it's going to be tough not walking around. So, first, I want to tell you I am incredibly awed, and I stand before you incredibly humbled. And I'm humbled because of what this audience represents. Okay, not only is this room filled with some of the biggest, most important leaders of clinical laboratories around the world, this room represents one of the key factors. Okay, and that is that you are the first line of defense and the last line of defense for healthcare around the world. People don't realize what you do for a living and all the great things that happen in the lab. You are also the holders of the data that really is going to change health around the world. You know, for the last, 20 years or so, healthcare executives around the world have been pouring billions of dollars into electronic medical records. I gotta move forward to the other side. Okay, I'll try. All right, we'll go down a little bit. Billions of dollars in electronic medical records. Okay? Very important. But you know what? I think it's what Benjamin Franklin once said. You know, the definition of insanity is keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Maybe it's time we throw a few billion dollars into the lab. Because it's the lab that actually has the bloody data. It's you guys who actually have all the information that's really going to change where healthcare is going. And so what I want to do this morning is share a couple of ideas and thoughts. Okay? Nothing I'm going to say this morning is new news to anyone in this audience. So I have a quick goal. My goals are being changed. Oh, he's going to let me...
We're going to put him on a lavalier so you get to really see him perform. He'll be strutting up and down, and you'll get the full Michael Simpson effect.
Thank you. We got it.
Okay.
All right, so it means I can move.
Hallelujah. Okay, is it on? Test, blue, green, yellow. All right, we're there. All right, I can move. Hate standing behind a lector. Anybody else hate standing behind a lector? All right, there's a few of you. You know, it just seems like you're just chained, and you can't move, and you can't talk. Well, look, nothing I'm going to say this morning is really new news to anybody in this room, but I have a goal. Okay, and that goal is to kind of lay three seeds with everybody here. So when you go back home, you can start to rethink about data and how do we want to change the healthcare landscape in the coming years. So first, we as laboratorians are not in the testing business. Our business is the creation of data. It was early on that McDonald's figured out they're not in the fast food business. McDonald's is in the real estate business. Amazon has known since the beginning that they are not in the retail business. Amazon is in the logistics business. We as laboratorians, we're in the data business. And that's going to be critically important to how we help change mankind over the coming 10, 20 years. Okay? Number two. Okay? Like I said, you all sit on the greatest repository of healthcare data known to man. But there's other laboratories out there. And what a seed I want to plant with y'all is that there are laboratories out there testing everything. The air that we breathe, the water that we drink, the food that we eat. And it's going to be the combination of data from our other laboratory friends out there outside of healthcare that is going to change the world for good. And third, seed I'll plant, and AJ and the team are going to really come in and knock it out of the park later this morning, and that's around generative AI. It is going to change everything that we do. Over the next 5 years, it is going to infiltrate every aspect of our lives, whether it is in the laboratory, to our personal lives, to our home lives, to our mobile devices. Okay? So forget about cash. Forget about credit cards. Forget about Bitcoin. The new currency, which you all sit on today, unrecognized, is your data. And as Robert said, AI requires one thing to be successful, and that are mountains of data to be processed, and you have it. So those are the three C's I want to leave you this morning. But to start off, I just want to give you 3 minutes on, you know, who Clinisys is, because most people in the United States don't really realize what we do for a living. So I'll just go through these very, very quickly. You know, we are lab people. All that we do at Clinisys is the lab. We focus on one and only one thing, and that is really helping to make sure that communities are both healthier and safer around the world. And we do this by focusing in on one and only one thing, and that is you, the laboratory. Okay? We're a global organization. You know, we operate in 39 different countries. We service a little over 4,000 customers around the world. You know, and it's one of these areas where you think about this for a second from a global scale point of view. There's not a lot of lab problems that we haven't seen. So many of you know us by some of the companies that we've acquired over the years, whether it's Sunquest or, you know, MIPS or some of these others, but we've been around. One of the independent research facilities out there, they state that based on market share, we are probably the largest clinical laboratory provider of healthcare systems around the globe. So while our footprint here in the United States is fairly small, globally we have, you know, the majority of clinical systems out there. And lastly, this is who we serve. And I think this is the area that I want to spend a little bit of time on as I go through these slides. We service healthcare, absolutely. Healthcare and toxicology. I saw my friend from UI Labs and others here today. You know, there's a lot of great things in the toxicology space as well. But we also serve contract services organizations, public health labs, environmental labs, those who test our air, our quality, our soil, our water labs, sanitation labs, so for water sanitation is the sewage, you know, food and beverage, okay? And it's this knowledge and this breadth that we see across laboratories is where we get this kind of interesting insight into what we think of as data as we go forward. Our customers, they go from the very small, testing a few hundred samples a day, to the extremely large. I think our largest clinical customer in the world, they process 660,000 samples per day. Not per week, not per year, that is per day. That's a lot of work. Their labs are running 24/7, 365, you know, just processing an incredible amount of work across thousands of pathologists around the world. So that's a quick notice of who we are and why we have a little bit of insight to data. Health drivers. All of us in this room grew up in a time where health was getting better. Every single one of us saw every year mortality rates declining, birth rates are improving, you know, and life expectancy was increasing. But something has changed. Okay? Every healthcare indicator that we see out there now is doing what? It is in decline. Why? Is it because the services that we provide in the labs are getting worse? Are the healthcare organizations that we serve getting worse? Is the quality of care getting worse? Has mankind, our genetics, is it getting worse? My humble opinion is the answer is no, we're not getting any weaker. We're still strong. Okay, so what is it? What's going on? Why is our health in decline? And to put kind of a personal spin on this, a few years ago, I was struggling personally with some weakness and some pain in my arms. And so, of course, like any good person, I go see my GP. And then, of course, he sends me off to a neurologist. Three neurologists later, probably a half a dozen CTs, a few MRIs, and a very, very painful set of EEGs. Okay. No one knew what was going on. So, you know, and this is not a plug, but I love them to death. You know, I called up our friends at Mayo. And I said, Mayo, I need some help. And so who stepped in? Mayo Labs. Mayo Labs and a few, I shouldn't say a few, I think they took 11 pints of my blood over a couple of days. But they poured the blood out of me. And within a few hours, they quickly came back to me and said, Mr. Simpson, you are suffering from something we call MMN, multifocal motor neuropathy, an autoimmune disease. Great news we have for you, Mr. Simpson. It is treatable. We can keep it under control. The bad news is we have no idea why people get this stuff. Okay? And so when we look at autoimmune, of course, like any good person who gets a new thing going on in their body, what do? We go to Dr. Google, and we Google the hell out of it. And what do we find? There's an epidemic, and there's a crisis going on in the world around, okay, autoimmune disease. What has changed? What's going on that autoimmune is doing all these things to us? Could it be in the food that we're eating? Could it be in the air that we're drinking? Could it be in the environments in which we're living? Everybody in this room, I hope, has heard of PFAS, you know, permanent chemicals that they don't degrade. Microplastics. Anybody picked up a newspaper? I know that's, I'm old, so I wear a tie. But, you know, anybody picked up a headline lately? You know, what was it a couple of weeks ago? PFAS, direct link to kidney, testicular cancer, high levels of cholesterol, acute cases of cardiac disease, you know, and autoimmune diseases. So PFAS, everything that we do brings in PFAS. Microplastics. New headline came out. I think it was a group of folks who came back and said, you know, and this is probably the scariest headline I read in the last 2 weeks. Microplastics can now pass through the blood-brain barrier. Pharmaceutical companies have been dying to figure out how the hell to get through that barrier for decades. Microplastics found the way. What the heck are those things doing to our brains? It's a scary world out there. In Denmark, I think it was 2 weeks ago, a group of folks in the lab, what they figured out was that there's a direct linkage between PFAS in the blood and heart disease. Okay. So as we think about why are we getting sicker? You know, we can do everything we can. Everyone in this room fights every single day against all these diseases. But what we really need to be fighting are the cause. We've got to stop it at the beginning of what's happening. How many of you have drank a glass of water today? Bottle over a bottle. A few? What are you drinking? I had to bring a cheat sheet because it's a long list. Okay. When you bring open your faucet in the morning, you know, and when you drink a bottle of water, you are consuming pesticides, PFAS, nitrates. Here's the scary one. Why is infertility dropping? Hormones, lead, microplastics, hexavalent chromium, antibiotics, pharmaceuticals, fluorine compounds, aluminum, and I could probably, you know, keep reading, the list goes on. All of those things are sitting in our water today. They sit in the bottled water that we drink and the tap water that we consume. Okay, it are these things that really could be the root cause to why our health is in decline around the world. Nothing on this slide is new to anyone in this room. We've always known that these are, you know, multiple variables that actually influence our health. But the interesting factor here is how many of us realize that behind almost every single one of these variables, there's a lab. We all focus on a few of these points. Genetics, personalized medicine, you know, blood, chemistry, pathology, we can go through the list. That's where we focus. There's labs out there who spend day in and day out testing every piece of soil that's out there. They test the water, they test the sewage, everything that's going on out there. How many of us as you know, part of hospital organization, we used to love Dr. Google, right? Because Dr. Google would tell us, hey, the flu's coming. Because people are, you know, searching for some, you know, flu medication and they're searching for symptoms. Did you all realize that your sewage companies knew the flu was coming a week before? They know what's there. You have a COVID outbreak 3 doors down, they knew what was going on a long time before anybody else knew what was going on. RSV impacts everybody in this room. Your labs go nuts with all the volumes that come in the fall. How would you like to know what week is coming? So you can restaff, change your lab, change reagents, do the things that you need to prep. Your sewage companies know this information. Okay? The problem is, just like in healthcare, their information is stuck in a bloody silo. So as we think about data over the next few years, it's about how are we going to all unlock this data and get there. The untapped data repository. You all are sitting on one of the largest repositories of healthcare data information out there. The hypothesis that we have, it is, you know, we think about the future, the data of you and the data of your scientific colleagues. Scientific being the laboratories that are testing the food, the water, the environments, etc. The combination of those data sets is what is going to change the world. Okay? The biggest driver for innovation is really going to be about how do we take all these data sets, all this information, and put it into what Ajit and the team are going to talk about in a little bit about LLMs, large language models. How are we going to start to really drive our data sets and think about data in a whole new world? Today, most of us in this room are very focused on episodic and patient-centric care. Now, don't get me wrong. As somebody who receives that kind of care, it is critically important. It is something that we must always continue to have an outcome. But we as laboratorians have to start to think differently. We've got to think about this data repository and what the other laboratories are out there and how we can bring this data together to actually get ahead of the game. How do we stop disease before it becomes a problem? Okay? The data journey. Many of you in this room, and I saw a lot of different sessions over the last, 24 hours here, are doing a phenomenal job of starting your data journey. Okay? First thing that we all have to do is we have to get our data to the cloud. Okay? And now I know there's a few folks here that aren't quite big cloud fans, and I'll talk about that in a second. But that is the first step. We've got to work on de-identification of this information and putting it into a data set that is going to be consumable with our partners on the scientific side, where we can turn this data and turn our organizations into becoming a data-centric organization. We as laboratorians should no longer be obsessed with the test. We as laboratorians should be obsessed with the data that we're creating. Most of you in this room have already solved some of the critical factors around operations. You have incredible teams out there focusing on the operations of your lab, and the data is what's driving it. Now let's take that data and take it beyond operations. Gen AI. As I said, it's going to change the world, and I won't spend a lot of time on this piece, but I was in Bletchley Park, England a couple of years ago. Everybody know what Bletchley Park is? So during World War II, Bletchley Park is where Alan Turing and his team developed the Turing machine that actually helps, bring a close to World War II because it helped solve the decoding engine. I think it was the Enigma. Okay? It's an incredible computer museum. And while I was there, my son, and he's probably 30 years old now, he looked over at me and said, "Hey, Dad, how's it feel? Your entire life is now in a museum." And I said, "Yeah, you're right." Okay? And I had to step back for a minute and think about it. I've watched the birth of the internet. I started my whole career on punch cards and mainframes. I saw the birth of client-server computing. I saw the birth of email, and many of you in this room, have seen the birth of these items. What we are witnessing now with Gen AI is the birth of a new technology that is bigger than all of those combined. We've all said for the last 40 years that computers would help modernize and help, improve our lives. All it's done is cost us a lot of money in programming and, headaches and all the pains that we suffer with computers. Gen AI will actually make computers useful. They will actually find patterns that nobody in the universe could ever find before without decades and decades of work. Then they will find these patterns in minutes. So Gen AI is really where that future is going to be. So like I said, there's a lot of you in this room who don't want to get to the cloud. And as my son reminded me, I'm really old, and it's why I do, keep wearing a tie. Okay, I watched the dawn of mainframes. I've watched us move to PCs. I joined Novell back in the day. Anybody remember who they were? Computer networking? How did you connect computers back in the day? The birth of the internet. We moved to client-server computing. And then we moved to the cloud. Now, we're moving to serverless computing. Okay? The cloud is here. It's time that we all, as laboratorians, embrace the heck out of it, figure out how do we get our data sets encapsulated so that we can figure out how we can then use those data sets in partnership with our scientific laboratories around the world to really open up this innovation that's going to be out there. Data centricity. We as laboratorians must be obsessed with data. Everything that goes on in the lab is about how we create data, whether it's operational data, whether it's information around lab tests or the other activities that are happening. Everything here is about how do we create this data so that we can feed these LLMs of the future. The currency that you all have, besides the data, is everyone here, at least I believe, most people in this room, we're always looking for more revenue. We're always looking for ways to continue to grow our lab, to actually fund new research and the things that we want to do as an organization. Okay? And like I said, instead of throwing billions of dollars into these EMRs and trying to make them the all-singing, all-dancing, you know, solution to the world, we need to start throwing a little bit of money behind where the data sits. And that's in the lab. We need to empower the laboratories with some real data scientists. And I know some of you already have data scientists on board. But they're not sitting in corners. These data scientists need to be crawling through every part of your laboratory, looking at everything that you do, from the operations on when a specimen comes in, all the way through the systems as you drive to those results, and how you deliver that out to your end user, your customer, your patient. Okay? It is those data scientists that are going to help us discover these patterns that we can't see today. Okay? I thought about creating a whole 1,000 slides and just going through this for hours. Okay? But I figured you guys have a lot better things to do. Okay? But I wanted to just make sure that we laid this groundwork and seeds that's going on out there. Okay? You are sitting on the healthcare data that will actually change the world. Your partners in crime on the scientific side, okay, have the missing component of it. I would hope that all of you, when you go back home, go out, get to know the people in your community who are doing your environmental testing, who's doing your air testing, your food testing, your water testing. Work with them to figure out how you can work together to get data sets that you can combine and identify ahead of time when the flu is coming, when RSV is coming, what's going on with Salmonella in the neighborhood, and all the PFAS and all the other criteria and things that are out there. Autoimmune is real, and it's going to take over this entire world if we're not careful. Some people have already stated it's the current pandemic, that the invisible pandemic that we just don't see is coming yet. You all see it. You see all the changes that are going on inside our body. Okay? What we need to go find out is why these changes are occurring. And it starts back in the environments. It starts where we live. It starts in the air and the water. If you had that data, okay, and you combine that with the healthcare data that you have, you'll be able to completely change the way that we practice health over the next 20 years. We've been very, very focused on personalized medicine over the last 10 years. Okay, we haven't quite realized, you know, all the benefits of where it's headed. But that's about a person. You guys don't live with a single person. We all live in communities. Part of our job is a laboratory. We're not about one person, one test. We're about a community. We're about an area. We're about a state. We're about a country. We're about, you know, the world. You've got the power to really do that. And the only way we're going to do that is if we can take the data that we have and actually encapsulate it, de-identify it, and start sharing it and working with our fellows in the scientific community. Okay? Gen AI will absolutely change everything that you do. I'd ask that all of you, if you don't have a data scientist on board, think about it. Go sit with your CEO. Go sit with your CFO. You know, go where the money is. And talk them through why you need data scientists and what you do. And I saw, I think it was Moffitt and some other great organizations that are here in the audience, you know, they had some talks on the things that they've done in the data science arena. There's lots of organizations in this room who are doing phenomenal things. And I could list you 100 that I see around the world that are happening. Okay? But not all of us are there yet. You know, every time I walk into a room, and whether it's, you know, in a lab in Germany or France, the UK, or here in the United States, the first thing I always hear is GDPR, HIPAA, who owns the data? At the end of the day, guys, you own the data, okay? You have a sworn duty to protect privacy. You have a sworn duty to protect that patient. Take the patient out of the data. Look at the data. Become obsessed with what that data tells us. And that is what is going to change healthcare as we drive forward. Okay? Data sets. Some of you might be in a community where these data sets aren't freely available, or you hadn't thought about it much. Our tax dollars at work, gotta love our tax system. I won't say anything more about it on that. Okay? But there are hundreds of laboratories out there funded by our public tax dollars, and all of those data sets are publicly available to everybody in this room. Whether it's the EPA, DOD, FDA, USDA, everyone else, it's there. So, you know, everyone, think about your data. Data-centric, be data-obsessed. Okay, I'm getting the hook, so here's my hook there. Go back, talk to your environmental, your scientific compatriots. Okay? They will help us all unlock the cause of disease so we can get ahead of this game. Let's stop dealing with it at the back end on the healthcare side and start dealing with it on the front end side where you all can really change mankind. I'm humbled to stand in front of you today and all the great work that you've done for mankind over the last, 40 years in laboratory sciences. And I'm looking forward to the next 20 to 30 years as you continue to drive, a change for the health of this planet and every person that resides there. So thank you for your time and think about your data.
This concludes the presentation. Please visit the Executive War College website for details on the 2025 event.